This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
May is Oregon Wine Month. We're doing a series of interviews talking to local folks involved in the wine industry. Scott Kelly is here from Paul O'Brien. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, thanks, Kyle. Happy Oregon Wine Month.
Yeah, and that celebration has been going on for a number of years. What's going on with you these days in the world of wine?
Yeah, lots of different things. Getting ready to head out on Monday to Washington, D.C., as well as Boston and the Nantucket Wine Fest. And we're doing a bunch of promotion, selling our Umpqua Valley wines on the road and promoting during Oregon Wine Month, doing a seminar actually in the Nantucket Food and Wine Festival with other Oregon producers and representing the Umpqua Valley. So super excited about that.
Wow. So you really have kind of made a group effort. It's not just what you're doing for Paul O'Brien, but it's a lot of other people.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the Oregon Wine Board heads up the Oregon Wine Month, and those of us individual wineries, whether we're direct-to-consumer or wholesale-focused, or like we are both, we do some promotions to really get people to focus on Oregon Wine Month. We're doing a lot here locally. We've partnered up with McClendon's Old Fashioned Meats and doing some specials with some of our wines over there. You know, May is also kind of the kickoff for barbecue season here in the Umpqua Valley. So it's a great time to go by and pick up some great steaks, some of our Tempranillo or Pinot Noir, and then also, you know, some of our local restaurants like Old Soul and True, and we really partner up just to try to get people out to support local restaurants and stores and enjoy some Oregon wine.
Now, for people that don't know, we've talked about this a little before, but give folks kind of a snapshot of your background in wine.
Yeah, so I'm coming up on 30 years in the wine business, and I've worked all over the world. I started in California, went to UC Davis, got a degree in fermentation science is what it was called back then.
Wow.
Yeah, it covered everything. I did everything from kimchi to beer and wine, and ended up back in the wine business, moved to Napa Valley, worked for Robert Mondavi, who was my mentor for many years. That's where I met my partner, Dyson Damara. He's the Paul in Paul O'Brien. I'm the O'Brien. That's where the name came from. And then my parents retired here in 2004 because I grew up fly fishing in the North Umpqua and as a kid. And so I ended up choosing to move to the Umpqua Valley to start a winery in 2013 with my wife. And it's been 12 years of an amazing, you know, progress of discovering the great wines of the Umpqua Valley and really, you know, setting our station here to produce world-class wines, which is what the ultimate goal is.
Now, when Paul O'Brien opened, people looked around and went, wait a second, you're downtown.
Yeah, it was kind of a crazy idea. Dyson approached me in 2008 and said, hey, do you think you could build a winery in this old abandoned Chevy dealership in downtown Roseburg? I said, yeah, but why? And really, it was his vision of this idea that we were at the conduit of 138 I-5 downtown Roseburg, and what we'd seen is a lot of wine moving into downtown areas, places like Healdsburg or downtown Paso Robles and Napa, and places for folks to come into town, enjoy restaurants, breweries, places to shop. And we really had the vision that that was going to be the future for downtown Roseburg.
And, you know, down in California, you've got areas where it is more common for probably at least for the larger producers to have maybe two tasting rooms, to have a tasting room where their grapes are being grown, but also kind of, and oftentimes kind of back-to-back, row-to-row on streets, to have a downtown tasting room for tourists of that area who might not get out into the countryside.
Absolutely. We find a lot of times people roll into town on a Friday afternoon, park their car at a boutique hotel, get out, and never get back in their car for the whole weekend. You know, you can walk around town and enjoy the restaurants, have breakfast, pop into a few tasting rooms, hit a brewery in the afternoon, and it's just a really great dynamic. So we still hold out that vision that Roseburg's going to come around and we'll get some investment on that level. You know, so far we've seen a lot of great businesses start up, you know, between True and Old Soul, North 40 Brewery, Too Shy. You know, there's just so many great businesses coming into downtown area that we're excited for the future. It's just going to take a bit more time.
Now, with that degree in, what did you say?
Fermentation science.
So what else could you have done with that degree?
So it was everything from food engineering to a lot of brewing science. I ended up doing the Master Brewers program, stayed on an extra year, and it culminated with a 9-hour written exam in, administered out of the Institute of Brewing Studies in London. So I am a certified brewmaster, if you will. And then we studied cheese. We studied, like I said, all fermented foods with lactic, like, you know, kimchi and all kinds of pickling. But the main focus was wine. And then now today, the degree is viticulture and enology, much like the other universities. But when I went to school there, it was still fermentation science.
Interesting. Now, one of the other things you do is you're on the Oregon Wine Council.
Yeah. So a passion of mine is really representing the industry's interests in Salem and, you know, ensuring that we've got a seat at the table. You know, there's a lot of legislation coming down this session that we're keeping an eye on, a lot of legislation we've already battled and successfully won, but there's still a few bills out there that we're hoping, you know, don't make it quite through the legislature.
Now, does that make the wine industry a little different sometimes? I mean, I know there's professional associations for a lot of different things, but a lot of times if you have product A and you have the wine that you're selling, you're competing with other people that are selling it. But yet here we see a lot of folks really working together, kind of collaboratively, trying to really push their whole industry forward.
Yeah, well, it's that old adage, right, that, you know, rising tides raise all boats. And so the industry is very collaborative and working towards an ultimate goal of growing Oregon wine, both domestically and internationally. I think right now, you know, until every wine list in America and every shop in America has Oregon wine, domestic is really our focus. And Oregon produces some of the greatest wines and most premium wines in the country. And we're still not represented throughout the U.S. So like this trip next week, another one in June to Chicago and Minnesota will all be about, you know, obviously putting my brands out on the shelf and on the wine list. But ultimately, it's about promoting Umpqua Valley and Oregon wine in general.
Now, the Oregon Wine Council didn't start that many years ago, right?
Yeah, we started in 2019 out of that legislative cycle. There was some really bad legislation that came out. And we really didn't feel like there was a proper voice for our membership that came together and collaborated in 2019. And we were formed out of that. We've made a lot of really big changes in the industry. And, you know, we represent over 50% of the wine grown, made, and sold out of Oregon. And so our membership is quite big and takes care of a lot of the industry.
Now, how does that differ what you're doing with the Oregon Wine Growers Association?
Yeah, the Oregon Wine Growers Association is a great organization that represents a lot of smaller growers and wineries, and they're very Willamette Valley focused. And our membership spans throughout the Willamette Valley, Umpqua Valley, and Rogue Valley. So we have a pretty healthy representation and tends to really be a nimble organization that, you know, has a great lobby group that represents us in the Capitol, and we're looked at by most of the legislature as sort of the go-to for the Oregon wine industry as the voice.
And when you talk about legislation involving wine, what kinds of things come up?
Well, boy, Kyle, it's been a crazy couple years here. You know, first and foremost, we were able to defeat a bill that came up this year from Tana Sanchez to really put forth a sales tax that was going to start around 5% and increase up to 8% over time on beer and wine in Oregon. And that was one of our biggest issues, was the Oregon wine industry, as well as the brewing industry, has, you know, suffered a lot through COVID and these past few years. Tourism is down for a lot of different reasons in Oregon. And so, you know, our tasting rooms and wineries are not doing as well as they did pre-pandemic. And we don't need a sales tax coming out on beer and wine. And so we were able to defeat that. Other bills that we're after right now that we're still fighting, you know, there were some land use bills that we defeated. And now it's really about this farm labor bill that has come out that's creating an individual labor entity that will advise and oversee farm labor. So we're against that and believe that Boley does a great job in overseeing labor, and we need to ensure that sticks there.
All right, we're going to take a break at Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Scott Kelly from Paul O'Brien back in a moment. The interview podcast after one at 541radio.com. 1246 at News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. We're doing a program for Oregon Wine Month. Scott Kelly from Powell O'Brien Winery in this afternoon, talking about your background in wine and a lot of things that are going on. Did you ever look around and sometimes maybe on days that don't go perfect, think about what if I would have done this instead?
Oh, I think about it all the time. You know, I actually did that when I graduated Davis. As I mentioned, I took a year and studied brewing and really focused on that. So I went into the brewing business, love the engineering and everything that goes into microbrew. Spent a year as a brewmaster, loved parts of it, but the creativity for me wasn't there. I loved the idea, coming back to wine, that there was a vintage-to-vintage variation every year. So every year we get a kind of a new canvas to paint, if you will. And so have definitely dabbled outside of that. And every now and then I kind of think about, like, what else could I do? But wine is so ingrained in me, and I'm so passionate about the world of wine, and it encompasses, you know, we used to say art and science, but it's so much more than that. It's theater, it's history, it's theology, it's everything. And wine is really intertwined in my world and my life. I can't imagine doing anything else.
Every winery or vineyard has got kind of a different business model. Talk about yours.
Yeah, so Dyson and I threw up a lot of different ideas when we started, and our main focus is Paul O'Brien Winery, which is our namesake. Most of those wines are sold direct to consumer through our tasting room downtown. We're open every day, 11 to 5, and we do sell a couple of those SKUs, like the Pinot Noir, out in the broader wholesale market in all 50 states. We also have a brand called Oregon Territory that is wholesale only, and that means we don't pour it downtown at the tasting room, but you'll see it in local retail and restaurants, and it really is that sort of approachable everyday Pinot Noir, Pinot Gris, Tempranillo, and that as well is distributed in 50 states and really kind of focused on our wholesale side.
And doing not having vineyard land is a little different too.
Yeah, I actually have a 6-acre vineyard on my home property that goes to Paul O'Brien now, but most of our grapes are sourced from individual growers throughout the Umpqua Valley. Over the last 10 years, it's been sort of that discovery experimentation, and we've partnered up with some growers where we take 100% of the fruit off of their vineyards. Really great partners of ours, and they really are the cornerstone of Paul O'Brien Winery.
Now, for the land, your 6-acre parcel, are you specializing in just one varietal?
No, it was a bit of a hodgepodge. I wanted to plan it out to experiment with several different varieties. I'm very passionate about Rhone varieties, so we have Grenache, Syrah, Mourvedre, a little bit of Viognier, as well as Grenache Blanc, and then, of course, Pinot Noir and some Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc, so and a little Gamay. So I'm experimenting with a few different things with the idea whatever works, we'll continue with, and whatever doesn't work, maybe we'll graft over. So
is the 6 acres, are you on flat ground? Are you on a hillside?
No, always a hillside. You know, Dyson and I are passionate about dry farmed hillside vineyards. That's our number one requirement to work with a vineyard. And so this is up in the Callahan Mountains, the foothills, coming off the coastal range, and it's about 800 feet to 1,000 feet of elevation, and all dry farmed hillside.
Wow. Now, that is a little challenging, though, dry farming, right?
Absolutely. You know, we're blessed with a very powerful nature here, and it allows us to grow a wide variety of different grapes. And the great thing of it is that we can dry farm here in the Umpqua Valley. It's warm enough to ripen certain varieties, but it's wet enough to allow us to throw deep roots and dry farm throughout the year. So I think it's really what makes Umpqua Valley and Oregon wine special. It's what I came up here to do, is to focus on dry farming.
What do you think the Umpqua Valley, the whole area here, offers that people don't get in places like the Willamette Valley?
Well, I think we make beautiful Pinot Noir, but it has a little more power, and it's what we call that beautiful tension between power and elegance in our Pinot Noir. But then we can do varieties like Malbec, Cabernet Franc, even Cabernet Sauvignon here is stunning, Merlot. So bigger reds here, but done in a really interesting dry farm style versus maybe irrigated down in California or even in the Rogue Valley. And so our soil types are spectacular here. We need more vineyards up into the hills and up into the elevations to kind of explore these varieties. But the wines that you see around here that are grown, like Syrah and Cabernet Franc and Malbec up in the hills, Tempranillo, those are just spectacular wines that have incredible nerve and balance and concentration.
And do you feel like, we had a number of years ago where it seemed like a lot of folks were buying land for sourcing grapes to other locations. Has that trend continued or has that slowed down a bit?
No, it still continues. There's one or two properties kind of every year right now, but I think we'll continue to see an evolution. And I drive around and look at properties all the time. There's several right out my back door of my house that I look at just waiting for somebody to plant it. And I think others will drive through this area and see those in those southwest facing slopes and realize there's such opportunity here to grow amazing wine.
Now, you're known for being very involved in the Umpqua Valley Wine Growers Association. Talk about how that organization's doing.
Yeah, it's doing extremely well. A few years ago, really made a concerted effort to hire an executive director. Allie Rogers has come on. She's got incredible experience up in the Walla Walla area and marketing wine. And so we've really gotten a lot of traction. We have an excellent board and membership that's engaged in growing the awareness of Umpqua Valley wine. And I think, we're on the right track. I've been treasurer these last couple years and excited to see where we're going forward. I think getting the word out about Umpqua Valley wine and sharing this incredible bounty that we have here is really all of our goals. So I can't wait for the future of Umpqua Valley wine.
Is the fact that you can grow so many different things here and create so many different types of wine, is that a plus, but also a little bit of a negative sometimes in terms of trying to market the region?
Yeah, the only negative, I suppose, is wine writers really love to have one sort of thing to hang their hat on. And I think that's a pretty minor issue. They want to write about one variety, one place, Napa Cabernet, Willamette Valley Pinot Noir, for instance. But Kyle, there's so many regions. I spent quite a few years in Paso Robles, and they're actually a lot like us. They grow everything from Pinot Noir to world-class Cabernet and Syrah and everything in between. And I think we have that opportunity as well, to hang our hat on diversity and our ability to do a lot of things really well. I think we need to continue to stay the course in producing world-class wines, and the rest will kind of take care of itself.
Do you have a favorite grape to drink?
Ooh, a favorite grape to drink. I mean, I'm a Pinot Noir lover first and foremost, but I love drinking all different kinds of wines. It depends on the moment. I've been drinking a lot more white lately, a lot more Chablis and Poulet Fumé out of France and exploring Sauvignon Blanc. And so, it's all about exploring and discovering new and exciting wines.
What do you feel like the most overused buzzword in the wine industry is?
The most overused buzzword, legs. I hear so many people talking about legs. And, the legs of a wine goes back to way, way back before we had the ability to assess alcohol. And I think a lot of it, is kind of a misnomer that the alcohol is on the label, so we kind of know what it is. But it used to be sort of a measurement of ripeness before buyers could really test for the level of alcohol. This is going way, way back to the medieval times. And so people looking at the legs on a glass of wine is always kind of fun. But, there's no right or wrong. We always say yum or yuck is all you need to know. We just want people to enjoy wine, especially Oregon wine.
If you had some famous person come into Paul O'Brien wanting to share some wine with you, what would you be pouring?
First and foremost, I have to pour our Umpqua Valley Pinot Noir. It's our flagship, and it's what we're most proud of. But our Cabernet Franc, I think, is really a great secret right now, as well as our Malbec. Those two varieties, I think, are stunning here in the Umpqua Valley, and I'm really proud of those.
And if folks haven't discovered you yet, remind them where you are.
Yeah, downtown Roseburg, 609 Southeast Pine Street, right on the corner of Oak and Pine, exit 124. And we're open daily, 11 to 5. We offer tastings, classes, cheese boards, and a really nice ambiance to just come in, sit, and have a glass of wine and enjoy some time with friends and family.
And if you look in today's edition of the News Review, you will find a special story about Richard Sumner in today's paper as well. So Oregon Wine Month, we're giving you more information on that. Another interview next week. Scott, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kyle. Appreciate it.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.